Welcome back to the Real Low Show podcast. Joining the program is legendary singer-songwriter Angela Hunt, who most famously wrote the song Empire State of Mind by Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, that went on to winning not only one, but two Grammys in 2009, and helping land Jay-Z's first number one single in the charts as a lead artist. Please enjoy Angela Hunt really going into depth about all of her work. Now, it is a long show, but it is a worthwhile talk. If you enjoyed the show, or even if you didn't, leave a review, but if you did, subscribe for New Weekly Podcast. Thank you. I got a stack of this gold. I tell you I'm on a roll. About to get all this dough. We ain't no fuck niggas, no. I swear to God, we the ghosts. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know. I still can't believe you were on tour for 7 years straight.
Yeah.
I think you should tell us about that, because okay, that's actually insane to me. I still haven't fathomed 7 years on tour.
Yeah. No breaks either.
No breaks.
Well, let me throw some other stuff in the mix. So I was pregnant with my first child.
Pregnant and on tour.
Well, no, not first.
Oh, okay.
First I got pregnant, and then I put out a record. Yeah. All this by accident. Like, it, well, nothing's by accident, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I put out a record because the artist I did it for didn't want it. And so we we're in an age where we can do that. Like,
right. Yep.
Yeah. What do we have to lose?
Why not?
Just gonna throw this record out. So I put the record out, and then as I'm like delivering my daughter, you need to get on a plane and you need to come to this show. I'm like, I can't because you literally called me. Right, the doctor's looking at me like, I need you to push. And I'm like, you know,
that's commitment.
Fast forward to like, you know, a week later, almost later, like a week and change later, I found myself in a stadium full of 100,000 people or more.
That's insane.
It was insane, and it did not stop.
From then?
From that day.
So a week literally from having a child.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was insane. I literally left my, like, you know, everyone was like, yeah, they don't know who you are right now. You're kids. Like, just go. I was like, yeah, that's crazy. But you're kind of right. But, you know, balance. You got to learn to do it all. And you just, if I could go back to like my many years ago, you know, like when we're all starting stuff that we're doing, I wish I was told to like do it all.
Right.
Cause I have so many talents. There's so many things I can do, but I would like stop one thing and then do another thing. And I just wish there was someone who just told me like, no, just
do everything.
Do that. Do the styling, do this, do the singing, do the writing. You can be an artist too and have a family, and you can do it all.
I think that's like the new age. Like now, like I think 20 years ago, everyone was like, you're just that thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're a rapper, you're an artist, like you just do that. Don't do anything else. Where I feel like now everyone's like, no, I'm going to do music. Yeah. I'm going to do fashion.
Also breeds creativity when you're doing so much, because like this one thing will help you be better at this other thing.
Yeah.
Whereas like when you're just doing one thing, it's like you kind of get like burnt out because you're like, your brain just wants to do that. But when you're doing 100 other things, it allows you to be creative and be like, okay, well, I like this one more than this one. And you can kind of pick and choose. And also it's like, gives you more opportunities to win.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
I mean, I'm so like jealous sometimes of like the come up now, because the come ups, I call them the come ups.
Yeah.
The come ups are, they have so much at their disposal, at their fingertips. Like, we had nothing.
Right.
Like, it was like you had to put yourself out there and be different. Okay. You had to dress different. You had to talk differently. You had to do whatever you had to do to be different. And, you know, fast forward to now, to the person I am now, I'm also grateful that it is now, because I can handle it better.
Right.
I can deal with it better. I'm a better performer because I've been seasoned, you know, and I know how to control things. I probably would have never been able to control at 19. Like, I can't control a band. I just wasn't ready. But this, you know, you do all those things to prepare you for where you are now. And then the mission now is to, you know, conquer touring, believe it or not, go back on it.
Yeah.
And live music, people are starving for it.
Oh, it's so everything.
COVID made that even like more of an emphasis.
I hate to say it. I thank COVID, because
it helped.
It helped. Like, it made so many people, including myself, realize like, man, I miss going to a show. I miss seeing bands. I miss like waiting online. And
I'll go see anybody live.
It's like the human.
I'm like, they're like, oh, you guys want to see somebody? I'm like,
yes.
Don't care. Never heard of them.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Because I'm wanna, and that's
we just came back from like, we did Rolling Loud. We did like a bunch of like artist interviews and such there. And that was one thing I was like, man, I was like, live music is just a good vibe. Even if it's like some of the artists, I'm like, yeah, okay. But yeah. I was like, just the atmosphere, the energy, like that's what I miss.
I don't think anybody's taking it for granted anymore now.
No.
So we're just like, and also because we have so many interactive things that we could do on tour, It makes it so much more cooler now because, you know, we just had like meet and greets before, but now It's like so many, okay, scan this code and you can do this and you can do that. And people call, you know, artists' lives now, though, so invasive. No, it's not. People just can see things that they couldn't see before.
Right.
Yeah.
Things that they thought about in their brain. Like, I wonder what they eat in the morning.
Right.
And now you can see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they want to see it. And, you know, I didn't understand that in the beginning. I was like, why do you want to know my process?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It sucks. Yeah. It's so like, I don't even, but to other people, like, wow, you don't put pen to paper? You don't write anything down?
Yeah.
I never thought that was interesting to anyone. I was like,
it's
I don't want
to. Very interesting.
It is.
For someone who especially doesn't do any music, I'm like, damn, that's tough.
But it's also not an overnight process. It's not something like, oh, you know, I just don't write anything down and I just did it. Yeah. No, it's just, you know, being in the studio for countless hours. And it honestly comes from a place of, I want to get the frig out of here. So I am going to do this as fast as I can, still maintain my integrity and quality.
Yeah.
But I want to get out of here.
So how do you, I'm just curious, because like, you're on.
Hold that question, because I want to introduce you to everybody.
Yeah.
Sorry. We got into it.
We actually have, I hate to say, for lack of a better term, like an undercover legend with us, Angela Hunt. So you wrote, you partnered, right, Empire State of Mind with Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, which is like, I was Joshua about it the other day, where my first iPod I ever got, my iPod Touch, that was the very first song that played.
It is very weird because he did say this. He did say this like
a week ago.
Literally a week ago.
And it was the very first song that played. When I hit shuffle on my thing, had thousands of songs. It was the very first song I played, and I still like make that connection today. Like, in the hallway of my childhood home, which is crazy. I'm getting like goosebumps.
Yeah,
like legit goosebumps right
which
now.
Is crazy. And then, yeah, you gave me some. I'm like, whoa.
I appreciate that. And then also, you helped write a song or songs with Britney Spears. So like you.
Tons, yeah.
Your resume is like off the charts.
Oh, thank you so much.
But now.
I
just wanted to introduce you to everybody who's listening on audio or video who don't know you, to give you like the credibility. Like this is Empire State of Mind is like.
That's an incredible song.
It's a generational song.
And that's why I'm curious, because obviously you've done a lot of stuff. Not only are you on tour, but you're helping other people write their own music.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you find time to get in the studio when you're on tour? Because I'm only assuming tour is already very, very exhausting, tiring. You're on a different schedule than you normally would be on just everyday life.
Yep.
So how do you even find the time to make music, collaborate with people, do all these other things while you're on tour?
So it's a machine, a very organic machine, right. Not like, you know, but so I have a rig with me. I'm super blessed to have a husband who's an engineer.
That's good.
You set it up nice.
Yeah, you set
so
it up.
So he's just, you know, hey, okay, babe, this is your stuff. You know, I've set everything up for you, you know, and, you know, technology today is crazy. The things that we can do. I have literally recorded songs on my phone.
That's the best.
Is the song. Like, you know, we didn't go back in. I didn't go back into the studio. Like,
it's crazy.
And like, because of technology, again, like the way we can correspond with each other and like fly files back and forth and the way, you know, it's just mind boggling. And like just the new setups that are coming out, it makes it so easy for us to do what we need to do. So in that retrospect, that part gets easier.
Right.
The thing for me now where, at one point, I was like, just give me anybody, anything. I'm hungry. I will write the shit out of anything for you. What?
Yeah.
Poker song? Yeah, I'll do it. What? Like, whatever it was. Because I just was hungry, and I just couldn't believe I had this opportunity to, like, be a writer. Like, what does that mean? Like, you know? But now, you know, fast forward. It's not because of Empire State of Mind. Because even prior to Empire State of Mind, I had many, many, many songs.
Right.
And many talents. Like, you know, I really wanted to do voiceovers. And my mentor, who is Salam Remy, he would always hear me singing Michael Jackson. Like, I can do Michael Jackson when he was younger. Don't ask me to do it now. I'll be drinking all night. but I can do him really well. And I would walk around the studio, like, doing it. And he would always be like, that voice. I was like, no, it's not a voice. It is my voice. Right. I just hide it, and I've learned to lower my tone because a lower tone sounds way cooler than being talking really up here. Yeah. So I try to talk in a lower tone, and I tried to sing in lower tones because my voice is so high. And he goes, no, that's your niche. Yeah. That's amazing that you can do that. And so he was working with Nas, and he was doing this record at the time. And I just remember him calling me like, yo, come in and do this hook for me. And I'm like, okay, what is it? He's like, it's Kids. Could you do Kids' voices? And I was like, yeah. Like, let's do it. And we ended up doing this song called I Know I Can, which is probably one of Nas's biggest commercial records with Kids that became like so many things, like Save the Music's song. You know, their anthem. I think it was Obama's theme song for his campaign.
I was gonna say, I know the song very well.
I know I can be what I want to be if I work hard at it.
I would have never guessed that was true.
Yes.
That's actually
crazy.
That's wild.
So, you know, behind the scenes. Yeah. I mean, like, but I say that story to say because it like totally awoke in my spirit to all the things that were possible. I was like, wow, so if I could do that, then maybe I can get into TV and film. And maybe I can, and that's what led me to start writing, you know, television film. And, you know, now today I'm presently scoring and, you know, doing way more television than I've ever done. And it's not that I'm being picky with the artists that I want to work with, but I want to make it count every time I go in the studio now.
You
want to
compliment each other.
Yes.
Like, I feel that same way. Like, I can, like, love a creator. Like, I love the way they do things, but, like, sometimes it doesn't align with what my style.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I love comedians. I love, like, working with them. But at the end of the day, if I'm, like, doing a comedy skit, I'm like, it's not really me. I'm not the funny guy. So I'm like, I 100% agree with that.
You just want to do things that, I hate to sound corny, but you want to do things that matter, you know, that, you know, no matter what it is, some, you know, there's something for everyone. So I never like to disrespect anybody and what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, at the end of the day, there will never be another Empire State of Mind. It doesn't work that way. No. I will never be in that space, in that time frame, in that moment again. So I never let like the press or when people's like, so when are we going to get another? I'm like, no, you will not.
Yeah,
you
never get it.
You will get something greater, hopefully. Yeah. I can always do that, which I think to me, that was like the beginning. Like for me, I was like, oh no, that door just cracked open.
Yeah.
Like, what? This shit just got started.
Right.
Like, you know, I feel like with music, because obviously we love music and music is very like sentimental. It gets attached to things. And I think that's why it's like fans are like, oh, when are you going to do another Empire State of Mind? It's just like, I always talk about Drake. Like people are like, oh, Drake will never do Take Care Again. Well, yeah, he obviously can't. He wrote that when he was 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, now he's has a kid and he's way off. And it's like, everybody wants their favorite artist or that like that person to like go back to a sound that they like because they attach it to a moment in time or a person or an achievement they had. And that song dropped or that album dropped, but it's like it's really, which I've like kind of grown like through the content space and even like just moving out to New York, like I've like fallen in love with like the progression of an artist, like where they're going and like what they're building off of, because it's the journey. It's the journey. You listen to music, like you like an artist because of who they are, like, and I think, you know, and maybe just like the social media age has like over popularized like singles and like trendy sounds and I get that, but the progression of an artist is so much cooler. They made Empire State of Mind, but what are they doing 10 years later now? What are they talking about now? What matters? And like being able to connect to that is so magical. So talk about like you just said, Empire State of Mind just cracked open the door.
Didn't
even throw open the door.
It
cracked it open. So like talk about the journey that has gone on, you know, since then. Because I don't even know how long ago Empire State of Mind was. Like I was young.
So we had an anniversary because it's about to be Diamond. And
congratulations!
Thank you so much.
Can you clarify what Diamond is for the people? What is that? How many plays or streams is that?
I think gold is like
it's it's 10 million. I was gonna say,
I think gold is like a million or platinum is a million, and then diamond. Okay.
It's been 10 million. That's sad because it's been so long, that people have been going, you know, platinum, and people don't realize like songs haven't been doing that because people haven't been buying music.
Yeah.
So, but that journey is a good question because that was a. I'm sitting here because we're looking out the window at New York City.
Yes, and it's like
I'm
the most beautiful
view. Really Empire State of Mind.
It's crazy.
You'll be able to see the Empire State Building if you look hard enough.
This is what I had.
All right, whatever. But it's okay. But it's okay.
We can pretend. It's okay.
We're not geography people.
Yeah, I'm definitely not. So, but this is what I had. You know, this is what I was thinking about. This is what we were envisioning. You know, but even when the song came out, you don't know what's happening.
Right.
For anybody to be like, yeah, you know, I'm checking the charts. Yeah, we knew it was going number one. That's not how it goes.
No.
For people who really do what they do in any profession, doesn't matter what it is, you're just running.
Yeah.
And you're just going and you just like, oh yeah, okay, that was good. Okay. Like, yeah,
now
you don't,
you're on to the next thing.
I was on to the next song. I was like, I never try to get attached. I was very attached to that record.
And that might attest to why you've been so successful is because you're not looking back. You're like, what's the next thing?
Yeah. Well, you should never look back because I have a saying and I even have a tattoo of it. It's forwards, ever, backwards, never.
Yeah.
Never. So I try not to get attached to something. And I did not want to get attached to that record because it was literally a love letter. I was broke. I had just had an epiphany that this is the business of music. This is not the music business. I was like, oh my God, this is business. This is like 90% business and 10% creativity. Oh, I was like, psh.
Oh yeah.
And so it was like I was picking up the pieces all over again and attacking it now in a totally different way. And I was just like, but I'm tired.
Right.
Oh my God, I've been grinding for so long. But it was like, all right, like, let's just get up. Let's just do this. Angela, pick yourself up. And I literally was like, Dag, I remember like when I just had my backpack and I was just like riding around New York and I was broke and I was homeless and I had no money. And, you know, I just was living off of hot dogs and dollar pizzas and Cokes. And I would be in studios and people would throw away food and I would just like take the food out the garbage and like put it in my bag. And like, you know, so I'd have something to eat that night. Just all that, everybody has a story, so it's no big deal, but it is what it is. And, you know, so that was why I was so attached to it. It didn't matter if it never left my laptop, which I have thousands like that. There's a thousand Empire State of Minds in my laptop.
For
they
sure.
call my laptop the $1 million laptop, because if I open it, I'm going to find something.
For sure, yeah.
So it's not to... For other people, they're like, oh, wow, this record is amazing. Like, I'm like, yeah, but there's many more like that. Yeah. Someone was smart enough and brave enough to go, you know what? I'm going to do that record.
Yeah.
Most people don't do that. Most people are like, it doesn't sound like anything today, so I'm going to pass.
Right.
Yeah.
That's generally what happens. People are just in the now.
Yes.
But Jay-Z was smart enough to look past. It was a song.
Right.
It was a beautiful song.
Yeah.
I mean, the hook was the exact same, but the verses were kind of saying the same thing he's saying in his verses.
Yeah.
Because I kind of end the verse, if I can't make it here, there's nothing to go back to in New York. Concrete jungle where dreams are made of, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. Now, like, I just remember being in the studio and, like, the producer was like, what is this Broadway shit she's singing? Like, what? just let me get this out. Let me get this out, and then we could move on to this other thing that we were doing. So at the end of the day, you know, when it was all said and done and Jay-Z heard it and, you know, realized, like, I know what she's saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think this just changed my life.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yeah, no. So we're giving it to Gaga and you can't have it. And it was like, what? I remember like her A&R, like I think he flew to Japan to play it for her. Like it was like a whole thing. And I was like, yes, I've been wanting this relationship. This is happening. And he was relentless. He was like, yeah, no. I will rap over you.
Yeah.
Like it's not happening. And I was just like, wow. Like I did grow up with Jay. We grew up in the same neighborhood. We know all the same people. Right. We lived in the same building. I lived in 560 State Street as well.
Yeah.
And
that's wild.
Very wild.
That's like,
because he didn't know it was
let's
me.
Let's not glance over that. That's wild.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Living in the same building as Jay-Z, then made a song for Jay-Z that was a generational hit. That's kind of crazy.
That he didn't know it was me.
That building is got some talent.
That building, everyone lived in that building. Big lived in that building. Like,
oh,
was so, that was like the building in Brooklyn. If you made it,
damn,
you moved to this Brooklyn. And it's funny enough that that Brooklyn is across the street from the Barclays. And I saw a documentary with him going to his old apartment in there, which was like my apartment was like, I think, downstairs and around the corner from there. And he was on top of the building looking at the Barclays going, who would ever think this would be here?
That's crazy.
I for sure would have never sold my damn apartment if I knew that that was going to be, that this was going to be the Brooklyn that we're staring at today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, all this is a part of the journey. And even when the song came out, like I remember I was on a rooftop and I my phone was ringing and I turned it off because I was like, I'm having dinner. Like, I never do this.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to have dinner with my friends.
Yeah.
And the phone just kept ringing and it wouldn't stop. And it was my publisher and he just kept calling and calling and calling. I didn't know that they had performed at the VMAs and did the song.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so I'm looking over the rooftop and people are in their cars, hanging out their cars, screaming the song. And they're like, New York! And I'm like, what? I said, oh, crap, another leak. Oh, that's crazy. But why? Yeah. I don't understand what's happening. And I just kind of ignored my phone. I didn't know, you know, whatever. And then I went home. And I didn't think anything of it. And I kind of just went to sleep. And I woke up the next day or to my publisher calling me going, you know what? The Yankees are going to win. And I was like, so the Yankees always win. Like, what's the big deal? He's like, but they've never had a song. And I was
that's
like,
crazy.
You're crazy. Yeah. Like, I was looking at my publisher like, you're crazy. Like, what does this matter? Like, this is not going to happen because you don't make songs to think this is going to be the best thing and everybody is going to love it and it's going to play in stadiums all over the world and they're going to play it in hospitals because when they play it, people's red blood cells go up. Like, you don't make songs thinking that. In fact, you make your mind maybe because that's what fuels you to make songs like that. But that happened and they won. And I remember my publisher calling me and he goes, look at the television. And they won and they were going down the Canyon of Heroes. And it was Jeter and A-Rod and Jay and the mayor. And the mayor goes, our official song of New York City.
That's
and I was
wild.
Like,
oh, shit.
And then
that's
the
crazy.
Giants won. And then I feel like the Rangers won. It was just like boom, 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 boom. And it was just, it was unreal.
Yeah.
And I was trying to be in the moment, but it was so above me that I was just like,
it was like hard to comprehend.
Yeah. It was extreme. I mean, it's still hard to comprehend.
I mean, it's kind of crazy to even think about that, like.
Yeah. I try not to comprehend it because I don't want to get wrapped up in any of it. Like, I feel like I'm just on the outside, like everybody else looking in.
I'm super curious, like, when you were, like, recording that, and I think it's super interesting. Like, there's a whole nother story of, like, how it, like, actually got to Jay-Z and then they put, like, Alicia Keys on it, like, all of that. But, like, when you were recording that, like, did you have a thought, like, this is going to be, like, something? Or were you like, this is just another song?
No. I remember saying, wouldn't this be dope if Jay-Z would do this? And they do, like, a video with him on the top of the Empire State Building with a hologram of Frank Sinatra. And everyone just looked at me like, yeah, we got to get to the other song because we're here to do this other project. Like, could you just please stop? But I was, like, having these thoughts of grandeur.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that be – that would be crazy. And, you know, I remember somebody looking at me going, why? I said, because he doesn't have a song about New York.
Yeah.
Like, a song about New York.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
But okay, whatever. Like, and then it was just like rollover. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like let's stop the dreaming for a minute. Let's get back to reality and let's, you know, get back to work. Because we were in London. We weren't here. We weren't in America.
Right.
So, you know, I was just thinking maybe I could send it to them. And we did. And we got a response.
That's
so wild.
That's crazy.
That's so wild. I mean, you have to believe in, like, perfect timing and manifestation. How big is that for you?
If you do not believe in perfect timing and manifestation, I believe that you're not living your best life. You are not. Because when we sent it to them, they sent a response back saying they hate it.
That's.
And then 8 months later, somewhere around there, my publisher, John Platt, who has very instrumental in a lot of people's careers, in their albums, in the making of their albums, like the list from Missy to Pharrell to Timbaland to, he's been with Jay-Z from the beginning of his album. So he has a very close relationship with him. And he was like, where'd you get this record from? I was like, I don't know. It was just, it's a record we did in London. Like, he goes, no. This, I said, no, you can't play that for Jay. We sent it. They said they hated it. He goes, no, I don't believe that. And that's all,
right?
You know, timing and manifestation. And I believe it was like Father's Day or something. And he sent him the song by accident.
Really?
And he's like, is this a happy Father's Day to me?
Yeah.
Because what did you just send me? And he was going to play for him. It's just little tidbits that people don't really know anything about, these little tidbits. It's just, you cannot tell me that time and place has a major part to do. You know, when I sit in classes and, you know, master classes and stuff and talk to people, and they're always trying to crack this code of how did you do this? And I'm like,
there's no code.
There's no fucking code.
It's just working fucking hard. And then eventually, like, if you're good at what you're doing, you're working hard, eventually it's going to break.
I don't know why people don't realize that hard work is always and will be the key. And when you run from it, it will smack you back in your face, and you're just going to have to start over and do the work at some point. You know what I mean? And a lot of it is time and place and luck. This is a very luck-driven business. Like, there's times I've walked into places and I'm like, oh, hey. They're like, hi. Do you have any songs on you? I'm like, I happen to have my laptop right here. Yeah. What are you looking for? And it's like, you know, things just happen, or me going somewhere and I'm not supposed to be there, or, you know, just trying to get to other songs. And then all of a sudden, boom, here's this record in your lap, and it's the biggest record ever. And you have people like Donna Karen crying to you at an event going, this reminds me of, like, I was in my car and you know, and I'm standing there with my husband. Our husband's going, okay, let's go. And he looked at my husband, was like, is she okay with this? He goes, she loves it, because everyone has a story. Like you said, it's a memory for you. It's a super core memory. And everyone has this, like, I just want to let you know that when I moved to New York and I stood in my apartment, the thing I did was I put the song on, and, you know, whatever. But that's why we do what we do.
You know, I always go back to this saying, and, like, you kind of, like, hit it on the head, and it's something I've, like, really been, like, the wheels in my brain have been turning on it for a while. The luckiest people work the hardest.
Ooh, dag.
I do agree
with
that.
Like,
I agree.
It's like, the luckiest people work the hardest. Like, you don't, it's just like in, like, the content, and, you know, me and Josh would talk about it a lot, where it's like, you know, you do all these videos, nothing really hits. And then you, like, kind of just, like, walk into one and you're like, ah, it'll do all right. And it, like, does really well. But, like, you only get that through doing the reps and putting in the work. And it's just like, all the success you've had, you've probably had plenty of songs that you're like, oh, this is going to do really well. And it probably does nothing. Yeah. And then you have ones that are like, ah, just whatever. And it's like, blows up, because you just never know. Like, everything is so subjective.
Yeah.
Music is very subjective.
Very.
It's probably the most subjective thing there is. And it just being able to, like, keep showing up when nothing's happening. And that's crazy. But, like, I want you to talk about more of, like, the journey, like, from Empire State of Mind. Like, how has that been? Like, obviously we kind of rolled into, like, you've been on tour for 7 years.
Yeah.
But, like, just talk about, like, the progression as, like, a person and a mom and a wife.
You know, it's like winning the lottery. That will enable you to take a break.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And so you're not as all over the place. And then I quickly had to grow up, like, immediately, business-wise, because it was crazy. I remember just being on red carpets at the Grammys and people going, so we want to give you a book deal, and we just want to talk about the song. And it was like, what is happening? And a lot of people thought that, you know, Alicia wrote the song. Yeah. So when the Grammys happened and we came out into the press room, which, as you know, is probably one of the biggest press rooms in the world, they was like, who is this? Mm-hmm. And we were like, were the writers of Empire State of Mind, it was like you just heard laptops just typing because people were like, we're confused. We don't understand.
Right.
And so then that really catapulted my career because people was like, wait a minute, wait, what? This is not, you know, people just assumed.
For sure. I mean, I think that if you're not in music though, like, I mean, as of like recent, this last six years, I think I like sort of realizing like, I would like look.
Yeah.
When I see a song I really like, I look and see who wrote the song.
Yeah.
Cause I'm always curious. I'm like, I really like this artist, but did they write this song? Like my favorite song on the album, did they write that song or was that just, you know, and don't get me wrong. I think writing with other people is a great idea in the sense of like you're collaborating, like even if they help you with one line in the whole song,
sure.
I think it's worth
that one line. It could be worth it.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. So I'm always curious about that. And not to like completely derail what you were just saying.
Yeah.
I'm more or less curious about like, as you're on this journey, you're working with a bunch of people. Is there anyone now in this journey that you're like, I really want to work with them? Because obviously, like Jay-Z, like arguably one of the goats of hip hop.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if it's arguably. He's definitely.
No, that's
I mean, I would have loved instead of like, I had a lot of really great friendships. So I had a great friendship in Pac. I had a great friendship in Big, and I didn't get to work with either one of them, which was sad because I was on the come up. I was a major ghostwriter and it wasn't like I couldn't get in the studio and do anything, but I didn't understand that I could do so much more than what I was doing at that time. So I wish I did that. I wish they were here.
Right.
Because I could only just imagine what could have happened.
I just
think
about how different hip hop would be.
Yes.
Had they still been around. Like, yes. I think
that's a good point.
I think that's different. Like everyone looks at it like now, like the leaders of hip hop kind of drive where it goes. And I think like both gone way too early, but like arguably they could have still been making music.
Whether
it was like they're on it, whether like, no, we're just going to executive produce, we're going to be on the back end of it. It's just like, I think music would be in a totally different direction in general.
Yeah.
Is there anyone alive that you'd want to
work with? Yes. I freaking love Post Malone. Like,
oh my God, that's such a good
one. That's a good
one. Like, awesome. There's very few people.
He's just such a good human being, too.
I wish I knew him. I wish
Can I put you onto someone?
Yeah.
Do you know a guy named Tyler Yahweh? He was discovered by, like, Post Malone kind of discovered him. But I actually interviewed Tyler Yahweh. Great, great.
Low-key sound like there's some songs.
They're
that
very
he sounds
similar.
Exactly, like
very similar. Really? He's a very similar. He's a Florida boy.
Okay.
I'll just say this, great human being.
Yeah.
One.
That's
great
how you always make great music. Yeah. Because if the person that you're collaborating with is just a great human being, the synergy is always going to be right. And I just get this synergy like from Post. Like he makes songs. I go, I wish I wrote that.
Yeah.
Like,
and Post Malone just, I don't know him personally, but seems like a great human.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've seen him on a lot of interviews. Like, he, like, every woman, he's like, ma'am. It's like, you're just
so cool.
Damn. Like, no rappers or artists are sitting there like, ma'am, how can I? And it's like, you're like, damn.
Like, I literally just bought tickets, like $350. Oh. I didn't call anybody to give me the hookup. Yeah. Like, I bought the tickets because my daughter loves him. And she's always like, mommy, what's Oxycontin? I'm like, it's an aspirin. Don't worry about it.
But don't take it.
But she, you know, we don't censor our kids' music because we just don't want
they're
to.
Gonna they're going to hear it anyways.
You're going to hear it and it's whatever. But at the end of the day, she loves.
Have you wrote any songs for like posts? Like when you're writing, you're like, oh,
yes, totally. Like he's totally in my mind. Like,
it's
wow.
It's going to happen then.
Yeah, well, that's the power of manifestation. Like,
it's
you know.
I actually want to circle back a little bit because I like to say I'm a very sentimental person.
Yeah, let's do
it. And I like to pull on things. And you kind of talked about how when you were kind of coming up in the game, you didn't like you had a relationship with Pac, you had a relationship with Big, but you didn't realize like how big of things you could do at the time. How long did it take for you to be like, no, I can like really do this shit. Like I can really do something weird because like. Honestly, like as a human, your only limit is yourself.
Absolutely.
Like you put your own limits, but like when you're in a very creative space, it's very easy to like kind of be hard on yourself when you're not getting the results, when you're not getting the acknowledgement. You're like, am I really good at this? Like, can I really do this?
Yeah. I mean, at a point in time, I left and I moved to Europe because I felt like maybe I need to go somewhere else. And I want to learn, and I want to learn from like some of the best. And I kind of just took Billboard and I looked at like the top 10 songs. And I was like, who's all these Skirskins and Eric Swansons and who are these people? And I just started doing mad research, and I was finding out that a lot of the big pop songs at that time, which was like Ricky Martin, Britney Spears, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, all that stuff was being done by these Swedes in Sweden. And I was like, I need to go there. Yeah. And I remember walking into my publisher, who is a mega giant, and he looked at me, he goes, you are like one of the whitest, but you're black, but you write so white. And I was like, I don't really know what that means, but I'm hoping like
it's a compliment.
It's a compliment?
Yeah.
And so I was just like, he goes, all I'm trying to say to you girls, you need to be doing pop music. And at the time, there just wasn't many people of color in that. So it was hard. I went through some really shitty moments. But I never like to talk about those moments because I don't let that, I don't want that to harp my career, because I met great people, and I met people who really catapulted me and taught me, like, this is how you write a freaking pop song. And those Swedes worked me like you would not believe. Like, they had, their work ethic is unreal. They're like, that breath, could you like give it a 30 second rest? And you're like, what? I don't even understand what that means. Like, cause they're just so meticulous. Like, yeah, everything is just like, you know, and I learned that from them. And I learned to work really hard, really fast. Cause at the end of the day, they're like packing up all their bags at like 6 o'clock. Like, you didn't write three songs yet? Okay, well, we're leaving. Right. Because there's life outside of this. And they taught me that. There's just life outside of music. Like, don't be afraid to have a family. Don't be afraid to take Saturday and Sunday off.
That's a great perspective.
That's really good advice.
100%. Do not sit in the studio for 13 hours, because the record going around and around and around is not going to make it a better record. If it ain't it in the first 5 minutes, it ain't it.
So you can't force shit. And that's one thing, like, I know, again, I don't write any music. Don't know anything like that. But I know creatively, like, if it doesn't hit me, if I'm like on a topic and I'm like, oh, I'm like, I can jump on it like that. It's like, it's not going to, nothing good is going to come from it.
Yeah.
Everything is like, how we talk, like vibes, your aura. Like, if you had a great time writing this song, if you were like, I fucking love this, like, it's going to show in the music. Like, people are going to feel that same energy that you put into it.
Yeah. Nobody knows their journey. Nobody knows that you're going to be working with all these people. Like, nobody, you know, like I was writing a song for Peter Gabriel, like, this was like a couple years ago, and I think it was supposed to be for like the Avengers, and I was just like, I'm like sitting in the studio going, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it just keeps getting crazier. Like, you just don't know. Like, so that is all a part of the journey, like all these little pivots to me being an artist again. I deaded that. I was like, I'm not doing this. This is like not for me. I'm not really a good artist. I don't like red carpets. I don't like doing interviews. I don't like any of that shit. If there's a way to be an artist and just put out music and perform and not do all the rest of the stuff, I'm in. But until
right.
I'm not good at social media. I'm not good at any of that stuff. Like, I don't care. I don't care to tell anybody, oh, I'm on my way to the store. Like, how does that work for me? I just can't do it. And so I just kind of was like, I'm just going to keep on the path, you know, that I'm on. And then that changed when, you know, one of my music partners was like, yeah, now I'm going to put this record out. You have so many records with, you know, because I demo my own songs. And I would always get, God, this song is amazing. But who's the artist on there? I'm like, no, that's not an artist. That's me. And I don't understand, like, why can't you guys hear the person who's supposed to be on it? Why is my voice standing out so much for you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Can't you hear beyond me? And they're like, no, because it sounds like a record already. Like, this is how I want to hear the record.
Right.
And even like Empire State of Mind, he was like, the hook has to sound exactly the way that girl sang it, because he didn't know it was me that had did the record. And he was like, it has to sound like that. And I remember even somebody even saying, could be true, could be just everybody hype, but I heard that Kanye told him, that girl, you need to leave that the way that it is. Yeah. And he wanted to leave it. And I was like, that's flattering, but
very flattering.
Very flattering. And I would like to say yes, but we need a bigger demographic.
Yeah.
If you're going,
I
mean,
I still think Alicia Keys.
I think
that's a very flattering thing as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think especially at the time, like, I feel like Alicia.
To match you.
Yeah. We had the same tone. It was the same.
I also feel like when that song came out, like, Alicia Keys was like very.
She was on fire.
She was literally
on fire. Literally.
Literally on fire.
She was on fire. And I was like, yo, she's from New York. You've never done a record with her.
Yeah.
This is the perfect, you know, match or whatever. And, you know, I never thought at that time that I would go into my own career, but globally, I felt like somebody told me the other day, this is the perfect way to put it. Like, yo, you're the playlist I never thought I needed.
That's also a great compliment.
It's a,
I find that way all the time. I find that way all the time. Like, I want to be put onto something. I always think about it. I'm like, there's probably like 100 songs, thousands of songs that are like, would be my hit, would be something I fucking love, but I've just never discovered it, never heard of it.
You just don't know it. For that reason, you know, I've had so many people that I've come across that said, please, you have to put this music out. I'd be like, oh, well, you know, these songs, you know, but I'm not going to put anything out, you know, and I would say that all the time. And they would just be like, but you're like a perfect artist. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, fine, let's do it. And I was like, okay, but I'm not really in. I'm like just 1 foot in. You know, I'm not doing any of that social media crap. And I'm doing all that stuff. Just call me. Let me know like when I got to sing, because that's all I really want to do.
Right.
And it didn't work out that way. And I kind of did fall in love with the whole process of it. And, you know, when the record came out at the time, it was a cultured record. And this culture, my culture, because I'm Trinidadian, was just coming. And like, you know, the producer that I work with was like, yo, Afrobeats is about to take over. Like, I'm telling you, he always knows like when shit is coming. He's always like, yo, I'm telling you, dance music is coming back. It is coming back. And I just look, and I always listened to him, and I looked at him and I went, really? Afrobeats, huh? Okay. And I kind of just had this alliance with a couple of, you know, African artists already. And I was like, I wonder if I step into this world and take my pop knowledge and mix it. Wonder what that is. Because I was writing, I had saw that the DJs were about to be the new artists.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I need to jump on this, but they have all these instrumentals. They don't have songs. And so I kind of like was ahead of that. And I was like really like one of the first people that was like working with a lot of DJs and making music to their music. And they was like, even some of them were hard to convince. Like,
yeah,
but we do instrumentals, like stay songs, pop song. I'm like, yo, dude, like you signed to this label.
For sure.
This is what what you need now, because you're not in some record shop anymore. Like, so, you know, with that, I was like, they're infusing a lot of culture into their instrumentals. And I'm like, yo, like, this would be crazy if you do this. Oh, okay. Da-da-da-da. And one thing led to another. The next thing you know, like, I had a lot of records with Diplo. I have a lot of records with Diplo. And he started putting out, like, some records here and there. I'm like, you really gonna put that out? That's crazy. Like, I'm saying one word.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, but it's dope. I'm like, okay. And he played a major role with me becoming an artist, because it takes a very strong person to say, nah, I'm keeping on the record. This shit is crazy.
Right.
Like, look, like what? And it's like, wow, okay, he's taking a chance like that. Like that's crazy. And I figured, you know what? Let me push this a little further. And I pushed it and I pushed it. And then next thing you know, boom, you know, all this cultured music became very, very, very popular. And I was already on the forefront of it. But the thing that was different for me, what I brought to it, was I was bringing structure. Right. And, you know, I was coming with the bridges and the B sections and like, yeah, well, let's put some harmonies on it.
Sure.
You know, things of that nature. And then I decided, okay, if I'm going to do this, I need to, again, be somewhat Angela, which is this Brooklyn girl, and I need to infuse. I was born in Brooklyn, but I was also raised in Trinidad and Tobago, So I'm a Trinidad Begonian, it's in my blood. But I love hip hop. I love boom bap. I love this. Like, what? How am I fusing all this together? And I remember sitting in the studio and sitting with all my producers and having a meeting with them going, so this is what I want to do, right? So I want to make this music and I want it to sound like this. And I want it to be like, yes, you're Haitian and I want some of your zouk and I want some of your compa. And you're Dominican. I want some of your bachata and your salsa. And you also make the hottest boom bap records because you did most of the Fuji records and da-da-da-da and you've done Pitbull and this one and that one. Okay, so I need you two to work together and we need to make this album because we need to make a global sounding album, but it sounds seamless and it just sounds like everything should fit together. And they just thought I was nuts. And it is nuts.
Until it happens.
Until it happens. Until you go, that's it. Oh my God, are we actually doing this? And it's been a constant evolution. It's been a constant fine tuning. And then COVID happened. So in 2019, like from like 2014 to 2019, I just toured. It was insane. I was just like, this is crazy because these places are filled with thousands of people. This is nuts. Like you just don't even understand what's happening. Like people would just see me. I remember seeing Busta Rhymes at a show at like a festival and they're like, I came out and it just the whole place just destroyed. And he's sitting there looking like you guys like, wait, it's Angela? What record? What's happening? There were so many of like my peers that didn't know.
Right.
I had this super underground buzz. So what it was, to put it in a nutshell, when you put me up on the internet, it was like a haberdashery, which is like a store that has everything,
yeah.
You know, of me, which is everywhere. So I had these records with Diplo, and then I had this whole Snoop Lion album that we did together that was a nut idea that Diplo had, but it was genius at the same time. And then you had Vice that came in and then filmed it. And then I believe that saved the project because it showed really what it was.
Everything.
It wasn't a joke. Yeah. It was for real. And that, and then, you know, the Nas record, and then like these other DJs, and then all these other drum and bass records, and then all these crazy dubstep records that were huge in the festival world. And they're like, that's all the same girl.
Yeah.
Oh, so because of social media now, I was like late to the party because I didn't want to join the party.
Yeah.
You know how creative people are. Like,
yeah.
And no one was tying me together. And then people started tying me together like, yo, that's the same girl that's on that record. Oh, da, da, da. So like I have records with Slightly Stupid and they're like this white reggae band that's huge, like that Sublime sign when they were teenagers and now they're big and they don't necessarily have the biggest records on radio, but they tour ridiculously. And I'm like walking past skate parks and little white skater boys are like, that's Angela Hunt. I'm like, why do you know me? Like that is insane. And then that fan base happened, this whole stupid heads, you know, right. This whole Slightly Stupid world that happened. And they're like, but wait, that's the same girl that did the record. Okay. So what people didn't realize was, you know, when I was saying that I was a global artist, they were like, oh, she really can say that because.
Yeah, definitely.
You're everywhere.
This is everywhere. So then the process of tying it together has been immensely gratifying. And then when COVID happened, I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to put out music like everybody else and hunker down in the studio. I'm going to breathe for a second. One, I need to sleep. One, I've been on tour for a long time. I haven't seen my kids consistently in like 4 years. I've missed half their life, which people don't realize you do because I was in the studio. I would get off planes. I would go to the studio. I was still writing for artists, still doing full-blown projects and wasn't seeing my children. So I was like, okay, I need to see my children.
Yeah.
Make sure they know who their mother is and do that because this is for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm going to think about what is it I'm doing and why am I doing this? What is the purpose? I don't want to just make an album because I can. No, that's not it. So I'm just going to take a step back from the studio and I just did not go in the studio. I would not. People were like, please, we need you to come. I'm like, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not going in the studio. And they're like, you? I'm like, yeah, I'm not. because they know that I'm that person that will stay in the booth for like 17 hours and don't move. Yeah.
It's good to have those boundaries, though.
You have to have that. But you need that balance. But you need that setback to be like, yo, why am I doing this? Because it's only going to make the music stronger. Then it's going to make the music make sense. Then you go back to the music and go, all right, and throw that shit out on the table and just be like, and then you start knowing who to talk to and how to put it together and how to make these albums. And yeah, I made an album and I've been sitting on the album for an entire year, which I'm now going to release at the top of the year. And it's the beginning of a series, a beginning of the evolution of Angela Hunt, of like now becoming a full-blown global artist. I don't think that's not a loose word to say.
Can you drop the album name right now, or do you have it picked?
It's called Mango.
Mango. All right, well, we're definitely excited to check that out. I have one more question because we are here at the Vayner offices and 137. Shout out to them because they are helping us out today. But we ask a question at 137 every time, which is, what are you curious about that others wouldn't expect? Obviously, you're a mother, you do music, you're a writer, you do a lot of different things. But what are you curious about that like your fans might not know about you? It could be anything. Like, we've had people that said knitting, the ocean, the earth is flat. I'm curious about space, you know, whatever it could be. It could be like, you know.
Such an amazing question. I am curious about genetics. I'm fascinated by it.
That's a good
answer. Explain that.
No one in my family looks like each other. So when I see people like your brothers, I'm looking at you and you're like, oh my God, like you have this and your eyebrow goes like this and I'm fascinated by that. And I wanted to do that so bad. I wanted to do genetics so bad.
In another life, it'll be genetics.
Yeah, I hope so. So I watch a lot of nerdy genetic shows and
it's a simple pleasure.
I love that. Well, Angela, this has been great. An absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to have to check out a show in New York. If you're in New York, we're going to have a show.
You have a forever fan with Bel Air now, too,
because we had Bel Air before. We got a New York shows. We got to know. Every artist we kind of get in here, they come to New York. Like, we want
to
come.
You need to be there. You might have some girls come and do some little Caribbean things on you, but you'll be all right. You just handle it. You'll be all right.
We can handle it. I'm in the mix.
Thank you.
But awesome. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. No problem. I never had to tell my dogs we on roof for greatness. They paper getters, they want money more than they want fame shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. We too on par for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings. On checks I don't even feel. We buy the box, we dripping. We buy the box, we fall. My emotions stay on. And I ain't never gon' slip. One by my mama house. Won't see my brothers get ripped. I tell you I'm in. Watch me get my racks. And we bought so hard they think my niggas selling crack. We was pushing packs for 260 a pound. We was down, probably had some product in your town. But now we back, same straight for all my niggas, for all my fam. And I made about 10 racks up off these features in the air. For my grandma, ho, she know that this for you and you and him. For my brothers, for my family, for my mama, for my friends. I gotta fight for my brothers, I gotta stack out this gold. I tell you I'm on the road. About to get all this dough. Me and no fuck niggas know. I swear to God, we the ghosts. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my dogs when we on roof for greatness. They paper getters, they want money more than they want fame shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. So I'm part for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings on tracks I don't even feel. We bought a box, we drippin'. We bought a box, we fall.